If you would turn in your Bibles to Matthew, the sixth chapter, this is the basis of our lesson today. Russell read these verses earlier to us with our scripture reading. Treasures in heaven we're going to be looking at. In Matthew 6, starting in verse 19, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And I think the key is that last verse, verse 21, where your heart is. Where you put your treasure, that's where your heart is going to be. You know, even the best things, I don't care, something brand new, over time, it's going to wear out, it's going to rust, it's going to devalue itself, it's going to wear out. And Jesus is saying, you put your stock, you put your emphasis, you put your energies into things that will last. Treasures on earth. You know, we're very much aware of that. Money. You know, unfortunately, we all have to have money to survive. The last time I checked, that stinking Bank of America, they don't let me just have my skip on my mortgage payment. I'm a nice guy. Not much to look at, but I'm a nice guy. But they make me pay that mortgage payment every month. You've got to have money to live in this world. You know, the last time I went to the grocery store, they still make me pay for my groceries. We're not talking about the idea of that we don't need money. They call it work for a reason. You go off to work, you make money, you've got to have money to survive. But Jesus is saying, don't put your emphasis on that. You know, I don't know if you've ever gotten an inheritance. That goes away. You spend it. You sell something. That money is going to be used. Some people put their faith and their energies in power. A lot of times, money and power are connected. A lot of time, because you have money, you have power. But a lot of people put stock in maybe a title before their name or after their name. But power, I tell you, kingdoms come, kingdoms go. Businesses come and go. Some people put their emphasis in bodily strength, in their health, beauty, or I don't put a lot of stock in the beauty part. That's long gone. But bodily strength. You know, we were all young once, could do things. Our bodies worked properly. You know, I lived the majority of my life very physical. And I tell you, I'm seeing that turns. That's an eye-opening experience. It really is. To lose athletic ability, to not be as fast or as strong or whatever that you used to be. Bodily strength, health. You look at the people that they put, they live their life, and nothing against wanting to be healthy. The healthier we are, the longer we might be able to live, the longer we can serve God. Nothing about eating right, and I'm still trying to figure out where biscuits and gravy fall into the major food groups, but you know, people emphasize health. Taking the vitamins and working out and stretching and good mindset. And that's important. But you know what? The healthiest people will die. They will wear out. Case closed. We live in such a world today where outer appearance, where beauty is so regarded and so valued. Well, I'll tell you, I don't care if you're Miss America. You're going to get old. You're going to get wrinkles. You're going to get gray hair. You're going to get older. Same with guys. Some people put emphasis in objects, in their things. Things! We've all had things. We've all lost things. They've maybe been stolen, burned up in a fire, broken. We lose them. You know, whether it be homes, and by the way, that's not my home. Homes, cars. My son, he is so proud. It's just kind of a slap in the face to him. He's so proud of his car. And somebody scuffed the passenger side mirror. He treats it like a baby. Cars wear out. He's so proud. It's not going to stay looking new forever. Even if you never drive it and you just leave it in the driveway, it's going to look old. It's going to fade. The tires will wear out. Whether you drive it a mile or not, it will wear out. We can't put our emphasis on these things, objects, or our health, or our looks, or money, because those things will all leave us someday. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10, Solomon writes, "He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver." How much will you have to have if that's your driven purpose? Money, silver. Enough will never be enough. Will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This also is vanity. In 1 John, the Apostle John wrote in chapter 2, he says, "Do not love the world." Don't be tied to it. Don't be shackled to this world. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Let me just ask you, and we've had lessons on this before, this very verse. Every form of sin falls under one of those categories. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. That is so important. The Apostle John is telling us, don't be so tied to this world, because the world is passing away. It's going to end someday, just like our lives. Put your stock in the will of God, because that abides forever. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus is saying, he's going to give a parable here. It says, "Then one from the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.'" I love this verse. Jesus is here in a crowd, and somebody comes up and is wanting Jesus, "You settle this dispute between me and my brother." And he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to him, "Take heed and beware of covetousness." He wanted his comeuppance. "Tell my brother, give me what's mine." And he tells them, beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. At this point in Jesus' life, what did he own? Did he own things? No. But he was the Son of God, and he knew where he was going. He knew what his purpose was in life, and the things he did for that end result. And he's telling them the same thing. Your life does not consist of the things that you own, the things that you possess. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. He is criticizing this man. This man has been successful. Jesus does not criticize his success. He does not criticize that he's done well for himself. He's criticizing his attitude. One, resting on his laurels. Do we ever do that in the church? Well, I did this 40 years ago. Or I taught Bible class back in 1962, or whatever. Jesus, don't rest on your laurels. Have the right attitude. He goes on to say, but God said to him, fool. Strong language. Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This man has done an awful lot. He's built up a tremendous amount of wealth for himself, and he would financially be able to sit back and for many years eat, drink, and be merry. But that night, his soul was going to be required of him, as in the parable. And how much is that going to help him in the future? All those things that he has done, all that wealth that he has amassed, will it help him that night when he dies? But Jesus said, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Our faith, things that are going to last, things that will affect eternity. Our faith, prayer. The more I study about prayer, the more I realize through my life, I have not taken advantage of something that is right at my fingertips, right within my disposal. We are a prayer away at any given moment from communicating with God. It is right at our fingertips. Prayer, getting closer to God, building up treasure in heaven, the study of God's Word. Have you ever thought that God providentially has preserved His Word all of these years for us? We have something that other people in other times did not have. We've got the complete Word of God in volume form, the Bible. These are things, not objects, not beauty, not wealth, treasures of faith, treasures of prayer, treasure of God's Word. Hebrews 11:6, Hebrew writer says, but without faith it is impossible. impossible. Hi, Oliver. He had total faith of where he was going. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Not just a mental awareness that God is God, but that he is also a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By diligently seeking after, we're displaying our faith in him, not just a mental acceptance. In Philippians, the fourth chapter, Paul, this is toward the end of his life, toward the end of his ministry, and says in verse 6, be anxious for nothing. He's writing this to me. I get a little anxious sometimes. I get a little worried. My mind get too active. Be anxious for nothing. Paul is writing this while under arrest. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Not only pray, but have an attitude of thanksgiving. Make sure that your prayers to God is not only, not overshadowed by the, dear God, do this, this, and this for me, but with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I can't explain it. I don't know if you can explain it, but you get it. This is one of those concepts, when you get it, you get it. That peace that you have, that relationship that you have with God, that understanding, your faith, the prayer, the comfort that you get, releasing that anxiety in a prayer to God, you either get it or you don't. I can't explain it. Paul says it surpasses all understanding. But we get it, and it guards our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul's telling Timothy to be diligent, to present yourself approved of God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We get a lot of that comfort from knowing the word of God. We get faith through the word of God. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Matthew 6:24, the same chapter that we started in, just a few verses later, Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. No one. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. It's not saying that you can't be a Christian, and it's not saying you can't love God and have money in your bank account. It's not saying that. But if you're following after money, and if that is your God, you can't serve God also. You serve one or the other. You go after the one, you diligently seek one, or you diligently seek the other. He says you cannot serve both. And at the end of this chapter, it ends up, Jesus says, but seek first the kingdom of God. Jesus had made the comparison, don't worry about the things you're going to wear. Haven't you worried before? You've got X amount of money, and payday's not until this date. How are we going to make it? We've made it. Every one of us have made it. It may not have been good results. We've made it. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. God knows what we need. God knows that we have to live in this world. But we don't have to be of this world. Living of this world is of the devil. But we can live in this world, but be God's. I'd like to read the original verse that we had up there, the original passage. The lesson is yours. Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." If you have not put your Lord on in baptism, you haven't put your treasure, you haven't put your heart there yet. If you are a Christian and you've let the influence of the world sway you, you've maybe kind of put God on the back burner and you've been spinning your wheels for power or fame or money or things, it's a great time. It's 11:30. It's a great time to repent. Get back on track and start serving God, because no one can serve two masters. If you have prayers, if you need prayers of the congregation, we've got a lot of loving brothers and sisters here that will keep you in thought. Keep you in thought throughout the week and will help you. If you'd like to identify with working with us here, here at South Valley, we would love to have you. We will put you to work. If you would like to study the Bible more, there's a lot of brothers and sisters that would love to sit down with you and study and make God's word come alive in your life. Whatever your need, if you would come forward, let your needs be known while Daryl leads us in the invitation song. Let us stand and sing.